Do you want to be made well? The immortal film, The Life of Brian, there's the scene with the ex-leper who comes up beside Brian and starts skipping along asking for alms for an ex-leper. Brian looks at him oddly because this is a weird question to ask. Why would an ex-leper need to beg for alms? The leper explains that there was this guy who came along and just sort of randomly healed him. And now he has no way to make his livelihood. Being a leper wasn't so bad. You could beg for alms and people took pity on you and they gave you got money. And now he can't beg because he's no longer a leper. He didn't really want to be made well. It's a good question to ask. Sometimes the answer is, we're not so sure. There's an easy cop-out there that our answer should just be yes. We should want to be made well. We should want to be ex-lepers. We should want to walk, to take up our mats, and go out praising God. But it ignores something fairly important. The scene from The Life of Brian wasn't the first TV movie reference that came to my mind this week. I don't know if any of you watched the TV show House that was recently canceled. House is perhaps the most brilliant and least friendly doctor that has ever been on TV.
Yeah.
Ever. One of his missions in life through the first few seasons is never to actually see his patients. He has a team of doctors he sends out to rather cruelly interrogate the poor people who are sent to him because no one else can help them. So they're rather helplessly stuck with this person who is only interested in them because they're kind of puzzling cases. And House limps. His leg has been permanently injured. Part of the muscle is missing. Until the end of the second season, when he's injured and there's a way to treat him that could potentially cure this problem. There's a treatment option and he takes it. It's a little risky, but in keeping with his character, he'll take the risky option over the safe option if there's a higher reward possibility. So you start the third season and he can walk and he can run. He has been made well. And he's terrified. He's intensely grateful. He's enjoying all of the rewards, but he's terrified that it's not going to last. Of course, the writers can't let it last, or he might actually become a nice person. But long before it actually fails, he's terrified. And I think that's why our answer is sometimes no. If we're made well, our lives change. When Jesus asks us that question, we get scared. In part because change scares us, and in part because no matter how much fear is already built into our system, no matter how much we don't like about our lives, no matter how much complaining we can do about the way things are, we also know that there will be new things to complain about. There will be things we miss about whatever will be. New things will be asked of us. We will no longer be able to beg by the sides of the road. Something important is in that question. There is a lot of fear and anxiety when we're asked to ponder what it might be like to be made well. And it is not as simple as saying, this is a moment when we should be fearless. We are unfortunately, or in a moment of divine brilliance, and on any given day, I tend to believe both of those, simultaneously, human creatures, we fear. Our choice is not to be fearless. Our choice is to pick which fears we are going to live in. The ones we know, the ones we are comfortable with, the ones that already plague us, or the ones that are different, the ones that come with accepting the promise, the challenge, the terrifying reality that Jesus offers. We're all we can say with surety is that everything will be different. Quite arguably better, eventually, but different. Where God will still love us, where God will still be present, but everything will be different. And we will still be afraid. Which fears will we choose? Amen.